This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Children's book writer and illustrator David Wiesner is a three-time winner of the Caldecott Medal for Most Distinguished Children's Picture Book. First in 1992 for his book Tuesday, a decade later for his wondrous reimagining of The Three Little Pigs, and finally in 2007 for the inventive, visually rich Flotsam. His newest work is about a group of tiny extraterrestrial explorers whose wee spaceship unwittingly becomes a plaything for a house cat named Mr. Waffles. As with all of Wiesner's books, Mr. Waffles is nearly wordless, with dramatic visuals that propel readers from the plausible and everyday into the fantastical world of what could happen. David is going to be at Gibson's Bookstore in Concord, New Hampshire on Thursday, November 21st at 4. He joins us now to talk more about Mr. Waffles and his process of creating and writing and illustrating children's books. He's with us from WHYY in Philadelphia. David, thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, Virginia.
I was wondering what a reading is like with you, since your books are nearly wordless.
Well, that's the interesting thing about the wordless book, is that it doesn't have the author's voice, the text, there, so that everyone who reads it can read it however they want. And I basically take people through sort of the journey of the story, describe what I think the characters are saying, what they're thinking, describe the action. Really, it's just how anyone approaches storytelling. I've heard people do voices, people making sound effects. It's really a wide open kind of active interpretation on the part of the reader.
And let's look at Mr. Waffles in particular. You have said that the concept was inspired by a cover that you did for Cricket magazine in 1993. Can you describe that cover and tell us how it led you to Mr. Waffles?
The cover was a flying saucer that had landed in the desert, sort of, you know, half buried in there. And the crew had come out and they had their flag and they were all standing around getting their picture taken after their, you know, successful landing here on Earth. So you saw the sand dunes and there was a camel in the front. But when you opened up the back cover to see the complete image, you realized that, in fact, they were not in the desert. They were in a sandbox. So I thought I could make a story out of this image and turn it into a book. And as it turned out, I couldn't. I put it aside because it ultimately just wasn't happening.
So then along wanders Mr. Waffles. We see him in the beginning of the book. He's bored with all of his toys, these feathered toys and badminton birdies and little mice. They all have price tags coming off of them, except this one little tiny spaceship.
That's right. And I was drawing that spaceship. This is years later in my sketchbook. And I drew it with all these, this interesting texture, these kind of like pointy little things. And I thought about it. And I said, oh, my cat would love to scratch its neck on this. What a neat cat toy. And that suddenly unleashed the story from a completely different perspective while retaining many of the things that I had originally been drawn to about it. So when I was least expecting it, there it was. And immediately was this relationship between this cat, typical cat, ornery kind of cat, who discovers the thing that it is absolutely fascinated with, which is not a cat toy, but it is in fact a real little flying saucer.
And the fate of what happens to those little teeny extraterrestrials and their, I don't know, I guess it's like it becomes the cave of Lascaux behind the radiator.
And that just, that popped out as I was, the story was finally coming together. It was just sort of flowing. And it's always great to be able to take the story another level deeper. And when I had them go and hide under the radiator to escape the cat, suddenly it was, well, what else is back there? And this whole world behind the baseboard where the bugs live, and they've been chronicling their trials and tribulations and battles with Mr. Waffles on the walls, just like those prehistoric caves in Lascaux, which, of course, you know, these two races can now relate to each other despite their language barrier, that they've both been terrorized by this cat. So they immediately set about having snacks and getting their picture taken and devising a plan to thwart the cat.
In their drawings of Mr. Waffles, it's this fierce-looking predator, yet his name is Mr. Waffles. Is your cat named Mr. Waffles?
No. Actually, our cat is named Cricket. For me, it was, you know, the cat would just hate having this really cute name. And, you know, being given all these ridiculous toys and just like, why do you do this to me? So I had to pick, you know, the silliest name I could come up with, which it turns out my son's a friend of his had a cat, which the family didn't name Mr. Waffles, but he insisted on calling it that. So I thought that was perfect. And then just heightening that ridiculousness even more by making the letters kind of very bouncy and multicolored. And so it really pushes that extreme on the cover as far as I can.
So this was stewing for you for 20 years, at least this initial image. And in your 2002 acceptance speech for the Caldecott Medal, for your reimagining of the Three Little Pigs, you said that the book was a culmination of nearly a lifetime of thinking about a particular visual concept. Do all these stories steep for you as long as the Three Little Pigs and Mr. Waffles?
I think they do in various ways. Sometimes they come together when an idea presents itself. It materializes occasionally, not very often, but occasionally fairly quickly. But at other times, they're just these ideas that I'm fascinated with that it takes a perfect set of circumstances to trigger them. And it always takes me drawing. So I'm always working in my sketchbook. And it's something about, you know, my hand drawing the image on the paper, other things that I've drawn in the sketchbook, and things I'm thinking about colliding and sparking ideas. And sometimes that turns into an idea that becomes a book. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it happens quickly. And many times, though, it becomes something that I then file away and come back to, and eventually a story comes out of it. And that's the hardest part, is I have lots and lots of interesting visual ideas, but I always have to find the story behind the picture.
We're speaking with the children's book author and illustrator David Wiesner. He's a three-time winner of the prestigious Caldecott Medal. His newest book is called Mr. Waffles, and he's on his way to Gibson's Bookstore in Concord this Thursday. There's much more about the event at wordofmouthradio.org. Well, in this process of drawing and going through your sketches, you're known for using 3D models and sculptures to help create a sense of realism in your drawings. I'm wondering how you did that to capture the physicality of Mr. Waffles in this book.
Looking at something is the best way to draw it. Drawing is about seeing and understanding its shape. So I always am making models of things. They're fairly rudimentary, but it gives an immense amount of visual information that I can translate into my drawings to make them, you know, more convincing, not photorealistic, but to create a believable world. In the case of Mr. Waffles, I had a friend actually sew up a robe to put on about an 8-inch high wooden figure. The aliens wear these long robes, so I really want to see how that fabric will, you know, bend and bunch up and move as the characters are moving or running or lying down or sitting, and how the light hits it. That's just all information that I can use to make that world inside a spaceship more believable. For my cat, though, you know, your memory's never good enough. You have to go and look. And so grown up with cats, and we've got two right now. We've had for a long time. But I created what I refer to as the cat cam, a small video camera that I put on a pole that I was able to walk around with it right down at the floor level, which is where the action of the book takes place, and follow my cat around. And, you know, while it sat and washed and did all these things, and I, you know, kind of chased it around and stuff so that I could, you know, really observe how they move, their body language, the gestures, to try to capture that sense of the catness of the cat.
Mr. Waffles differs from many of your other books in that there is dialogue, but most of it is written in the alien language or the bug language. Do you have any idea what they're saying, or is that a mystery even to you?
I have a sense. I love the idea of making a a book full of dialogue that nobody could read. And I didn't want to create a glossary in the back that defines what they're saying. Basically, the pictures, the context of the pictures transmits what's going on from facial expressions and body language and everything there. But there is some consistency within this language. I spoke with a linguist for a while about doing this and got some good suggestions out of it. Visual suggestions, which was important. So the you'll notice the triangle is kind of their all-purpose exclamation. Sometimes it's if they're scared, or sometimes if they're excited. There's modifiers in front of it, but it's kind of always there in the right circumstances. There's a little character in green who is, I think of as the ship's engineer or the science officer, kind of like Scotty from Star Trek, and figured that this character would speak in technical jargon all the time. So if you look at the word balloons associated with him, they're the densest. They have the most symbols in it. They're almost like fractions with a numerator and a denominator. So there's visual clues about the way they're speaking and the things that they're saying. But the specifics of it are left to the imagination, of the reader.
So many layers in this book. Do you think about the age of your readers when you're working on something, or do you try and let the story come first?
Story always comes first, and I think of the story as something I would have liked to have read when I was a kid. Frankly, a story that I would like to read now. I remember my reaction to things as a kid that excited me. The first time I saw King Kong or something like that. If I can get the reaction of, oh, cool, I've done my job. So I'm always aware, though, that the book is going to be read by kids, and I want to make it as clear as I can, as readable. I have to stay true to the sort of the rules of the world that I've created, because, boy, kids will pick up on if you don't follow or you're not consistent with the world that you've created.
There are so many people who are working on the tablet format or, mm-hmm. animation format. I wonder if you have considered that or you're being asked to do it. What's your approach to animating books like Mr. Waffles?
Oh, I don't see any point in putting picture books on the tablets. The book does what it does far better than the tablet can. I think what will be interesting and is something that I'm in the early stages of exploring is creating something specifically for a tablet device so that it uses the inherent properties of that device rather than having it based on the turning the pages of a book. So I'll be intrigued to see what turns up out of that.
David Wiesner, a pleasure to speak with you on Word of Mouth.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's been great.
David Wiesner is the multiple award-winning children's book author and illustrator. His newest book is called Mr. Waffles, and you can see him speak at Gibson's Bookstore in Concord this Thursday, November 21st. That's at 4. There's more in the book and the event at wordofmouthradio.org. Thank you so much for your listening time today. If you do like what you heard, there is much more to experience at wordofmouthradio.org. I'm Virginia Prescott. Please join us for more Word of Mouth tomorrow at 2 on New Hampshire Public Radio.